Hi, everybody. Jamie Rocks here. This episode, actually, we're not going to be adding any advertisements in that we normally have our sponsored show and whatnot. The reason being is it's the day before we launch our big Patreon service and whatnot. We're joining Patreon. And as one of the perks on the various tier levels we have is our shows, all of our shows here, all the shows I do, ad-free. And so you're going to get a little taste of that today. So enjoy the show, commercial-free, and we will see you next time. Here's today's show right now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. We have had a lot of fun lately with the show and whatnot, and we've got some new sponsors coming up, and we've got a big launch tomorrow of another part of the show. Just lots going on. Oh, and in addition, we've got some fantastic guests. Starting today, we've got just some very, very cool filmmakers. I watched this film. They have a new film that we're going to be talking about today. I watched this film this weekend, and it's very, very cool. And the name of the film is The Rise of Sir Longbottom, Pocket Man and Cargo Boy 2. But I don't want you to worry if you haven't seen the first one, because you can follow along. I did, no problem, and I hadn't seen the first one. But the gentleman I have on the show today, we have Mr. Clay Moffitt. He's the writer-director, and he's joined by Mr. Adam Berardi, and he's the producer on the film. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey now, how are you?
Super, glad to be here.
I am so glad you guys are too. I really had a lot of fun watching your film this weekend. Fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. As I said, I hadn't seen the first one. I want to see the first one now, and it's in my plan. But I had no problem following along with The Rise of Sir Longbottom, Pocket Man and Cargo Boy 2. Very, very cool. Now, this is coming out. It's actually, I believe it is out right now, right?
I'm looking at my show notes.
Yes, it is. Been out for about a week or so. Very, very cool. Well, that's exciting, gentlemen. You know, making movies and all that. How cool is that?
Thank you. It is. We really had a great time doing it, and we're happy you liked it. We hope that everybody watches it, loves it as much as we love making it.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I don't have kids, but if I did, I wouldn't have a problem with them watching it as well. Family friendly film, and you know that's pretty cool these days. You know,
there's definitely not a lot of independent filmmakers making family oriented films. So that was definitely something we strive to achieve with this series.
Well, I think you succeeded quite well and whatnot. Now, do you gentlemen have children yourself, kids?
Yes. One of us has a lot of children.
I have four children.
Wow.
Who knows what the total will end up being, but I'm at four currently.
We have a pool.
Wow. And see, folks, that's why he's the writer and director. He needs that extra check. Four children. They probably enjoyed this a lot, right? When they saw it, they've probably seen it a bunch of times now.
I've shown it to them a few times. I like to gauge how some of my older children interact with some of the scenes while I'm actually editing the film. So
nice.
Yeah, they've seen it a few times.
Well, that's a good thing, you know, because those market research, when you get everybody together for that. That's money, man. You've got to build. You've got to in-house. I like that. I like that.
They used to actually write his scripts for him, but they were just a bunch of gobbledygook. It was really kind of incoherent, like three-year-old ramblings. It just didn't really work out very well, so we had to go back to the drawing board. And
true story.
I see.
True stories.
Now, let me ask you this, guys. Did you guys know each other before, you know, getting into the into this particular franchise of film?
Not possibly.
Unfortunately, yes.
Cargo Boy.
Yeah.
Well, technically, before we started Pocket Man and Cargo Boy, yes. But me and one of my best friends, Mackenzie Clark, who is also one of the writers on the franchise, started writing this almost 15 years ago when we were both in junior high. So from when we started it, no. But when we've started remaking this current trilogy that we're working on, yes, Adam and I have worked on a few features beforehand.
Yes, if you're referring to the good version, then yes, that the answer is yes. If you're referring to the...
There you go.
Well, that's fantastic, man. That is fantastic. Let me ask you guys this. Now, you guys grew up in Arizona, right? If my show notes are right here?
Yes. I did.
No.
Nice.
I did not.
Oh. Okay.
I'm a little bit older than Clay. I'm about... How am I, like 15 years older than you? Something like that.
45 years older than me.
45 years old. He's just an infant. But you're speaking to an infant. He's just very advanced, like baby boss. I'm originally from the New England area, North Boston, South New Hampshire. And then I started my acting career when I was in high school in Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's where I'm at now, South Florida. I went to college, actually, in Boston. Lived in Dorchester.
Dorchester.
I didn't know any better. Yeah, right on the red line. And, matter of fact, we would go to New Hampshire pretty much every Sunday. I don't know if it's still the case out there, but at the time, a million years ago when I was there, you couldn't buy beer on Sunday. You could in New Hampshire.
That's right.
We would all head up
That's
there.
True. Not only that, but you get stuff on the mall over in Nashua and get some tax-free shopping done.
That's right. When we bought a TV, we actually got pulled over. I probably shouldn't even tell this story. Well, I'm going to. I don't care. We got pulled over for not signaling a lane turn change, but we had a TV. We had bought a TV in New Hampshire, and it was like the trunk was bungee cord, you know, and trying to get it home. And got a lecture from the state police policeman about how we shouldn't be buying tax-free stuff in New Hampshire. Oh, man.
That's funny.
So we
pulled
over Matt,
and that's what happened there.
Yeah. And we apologized, promised we'd never do it again, and went home and watched the big TV.
Nice.
Never thought about
then
it.
Purchased
again,
your, you know. They bought your next car in New Hampshire as well.
That's right. Right. You know, we definitely did not learn a lesson. Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, well, that's cool. So I was curious to see. I wanted to ask you guys. Adam, you started acting in high school. How about you, Clay? Were you like a film kid? Were you like making little films and stuff? Did you know this is what you were going to be doing?
I'm definitely probably an oddball out because I think a lot of kids growing up wanted to be like firefighters or police officers. But since I was like 9 years old, I've wanted to be a filmmaker. My parents had one of those old like newscaster, like really heavy cameras that you had to carry on your shoulder. And I started out making stupid short films with friends where you just recorded straight to a VHS. And if you messed up, you had to rewind the tape and stop it at the exact point. And then record over that. And we had a boombox off to the side where we played music. If we wanted background music, we had a boombox off to the side. That's how I started.
You know, in defense of Clay, too, I've seen a lot of these films, and they're really good. And in defense of Clay, they're much better than his first professional films.
Yeah.
The pressure was on. You know, he's got producers suddenly, you know, looking, oh, I don't know, pulling out calculators and all that kind of stuff. And No, it sounds like you guys, you know, have are a lot of fun, and you know, I imagine this is a fun film, and you know, I'm not in the movie business. I'm definitely that friend that you have that has the outdoor theater and you know, makes all my friends watch movies and subtitles. I'm a big cinephile. I'm a big fan, a civilian, but I love film. This looks like it was fun to film. Maybe it wasn't, though. Maybe that's the whole magic of film. I don't know, but it looked like it was. It would have been fun.
It was fun to film.
Yeah,
it was fun to film. It was hard to film. I'm not going to lie. The first Pocket Man and Cargo Boy was much more fun. This one, we felt the pressure of, okay, we've got to step up the game here, and everything needs to be better. So I think everybody had a fun time on set when they think back on it, but it was hard. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I would second that.
I hear you. Well, no, and, you know, if your name's on the door, too, you know, yeah, man, I get it. Let me ask you, no, there was a lot of effects in this film and whatnot. Did you know that going in that there were, I mean, you kind of have to with the character, the storyline and whatnot, the plot. I don't want to give anything away, but these were really well done effects. I liked them. I thought it was very good.
There were a lot of effects in the movie, and definitely going in, we knew there was going to be a lot of effects. There's a end credit scene in the first film where you get introduced to Sir Longbottom, the villain in the second film. So you mentioned you haven't seen the first film, but if you see the first film, there's a few effects in the end credit scene where you get a glimpse of this character. And so going in, writing this story, we knew who Sir Longbottom was going to be, all the effects he was going to kind of bring to the table in post. And so, yeah, it was overwhelming kind of writing the script going, someone has to edit and do this. Knowing that it was gonna be me, you know.
Well, I'm sure Adam was right there with you, helping out where he could, and you know, all hands on deck, right? Type deal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I was there for comic relief and to yell at people. And no, I it was fun. Actually, there's a lot of parts that that I had to spearhead myself. It's mostly pre-production on my end. And then when Clay gets on board for the shoot days, then it's the Clay Moffitt show where everybody stares at Clay and he does all the work and I don't sweat. I put on a lot of hats as a producer. And one of them is also, you know, every aspect of producer from, you know, if you're in television, I'd be line producing, but I just, every aspect of pre-production you could imagine as far as, location scouting and even the fight choreography. I had to be there every day for fight choreography, which lasted about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because there's some action packed in this. And all that has to be, you know, you think about it. It all has to be choreographed out and whatnot. It was well done. Very, very well done. You know.
No, thank you.
Now, you mentioned earlier – which I picked up on real quick there, that trilogy. So definitely plans for part three are in the works.
For sure. From the minute we came out with the idea for the first one and got the actors and crew involved, I wanted to make a trilogy. This has always been a trilogy. The story has been pretty much chiseled in stone since the start. So you can George Lucas me all you want, but it's been set to be a trilogy from the start. And there will definitely be a third one as long as we can get everybody back and everything plays out right. It's going to be a trilogy.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Now, let me ask you guys this. As filmmakers, you know, professional filmmakers, this is what you guys do for a living. Everything was going well in the showbiz business, in all business, really. And then this last year, the pandemic, the lockdowns, all that happened. I'm assuming you guys had already done all your shooting prior to that. You're probably, in the editing point or process of this when all this happened. I mean, you got to be a little nervous. You're like, how are people going to watch this? What are we going to do? You know, I mean, how did you guys handle that?
And there's a pandemic.
It worked out, right? Yeah.
I wasn't even aware there was a pandemic. When did that happen?
Adam hasn't turned on the news in 9 months.
It was a little bit tough.
Longer than that.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think we didn't sign this with the same company that we signed the first film to because things just haven't been working out the way we want it to. So we went a different route, and that was kind of scary because there's a lot of companies that, yeah, like you mentioned, they're struggling or they're not existent anymore. And as filmmakers, we spent a bunch of money on this movie. We need to get it out there. So we have to do what's best for everybody. But yeah, the whole movie was shot almost a year before the pandemic. So we didn't really have to worry about production side when it came to that. It was more just release side. And we kind of figured doing a straight VOD release is going to be better. No one buys DVDs anymore right now. Theaters are kind of struggling, right, and they're expensive. So this was just kind of the best thing that we saw fit as a company is how we could get the film out there.
Yeah, and even to add on to that, there was some. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there was. You know, the theaters, even the ones that that were still, you know, able to take the film and show it, you know, in the middle of negotiations, they just closed their doors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's no option. There's no option for most films, and the ones that are still open are showing films they still have on license. So
right,
there was
absolutely.
I think VOD was the way to go. Yeah.
Oh, you know, and it's true, and a lot of people don't realize. I mean, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to a movie theater. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happening, and you know, I was talking to someone the other day who was blissfully ignorant. I mean, just blissfully ignorant on the whole thing. Well, why can't they just, you know, sit tight for, you know, surely they have enough money? And I'm like, have you ever written a check for a for a strip mall location? Are you kidding me? You know, if they've got soda, that cooler doesn't stop, you know? I mean, oh, man.
Absolutely.
I was just blown away. Yeah.
It's a very
expensive
concession stand. You know?
It really is. It really is. And, well, you know, the cool thing, and there's very few cool things about this whole, you know, the big tragedy, a lot of people sick, dying, and, you know, it's terrible. One of the few good things that happened in this, I think, is everybody knows how to stream now. There's no question, you know, none of my neighbors are calling me. How does this Roku work? How do we do that? You know, they've all got it figured out now. And, you know, and they're watching video on demand. That's what they're doing. That's the market right now. You guys got a good product in there. So not a bad place to be, given the situation, you know. Very, very
Thank
smart.
You.
Yeah, very
yeah,
true.
Absolutely, man. But, yeah, I would have been nervous if I was in your guys' boat, man, when all this. I was nervous. I didn't even have anything, you know, going on, really. But, I mean, you think about that. A feature film, you tied up. And I didn't really know this until I started doing the show. You know, I thought, what does a movie take to make? 3-4 months, maybe, you know? Not that big a deal. No, I mean, sometimes it's years, you know? Stuff tied up. Money tied up.
It's really fun on this end of it, too. So many of the actors, you know, they're new actors in independent film, a lot of them, and we'll get an email or a call or, you know, something, instant message. The kids use instant messages, I think. And they'll ask, hey, so when is it coming out? And I look at my my calendar, and we've been finished filming for a week. It's like, oh, no. That's not coming out for a while.
Oh,
go looking
so
at
true.
Your mailbox
I had
a residual check is.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I had a when I first started doing the show a couple of years ago, I had an independent filmmaker on, and he had made a movie. It was coming out, you know, the whole deal. And that was great. And so beforehand, you know, I was trying to do a little research, so I knew what to talk about and whatnot, you know, and I popped his name into YouTube, and there was a, he was on a local, he was from somewhere, I think it was like Montana or someplace like that. I can't remember, but there was a local news broadcast, you know, they're like, oh, we have a filmmaker, you know, one of those morning shows type deals. And it was great. And they were talking to me. They just started filming. And then I looked at the date and it was like 1994. in his film, and this was like 2 years ago. I'm like, geez, things happen.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, that was pre-crowdfunding. I think that was pre-smartphones.
Absolutely.
But, you know, what can you do? You just keep going. Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
I was in second grade.
Wow.
Making films with that big camera, you know?
That's right.
Dreaming the dream.
That's right.
Play, dreaming the dream. And now you're doing
100%
it. 100%
right.
What cool is that? You guys got the coolest jobs
cool.
in the world,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. That would be the first thing on my business card. Filmmaker. You know? Just my name and number. There you go.
The first thing
Boom.
On my Facebook page says filmmaker.
That's not the first thing on my Facebook
Hell
yes, page. I don't know what
should.
It is, but.
Smart guy. No, I'm teasing Adam. Now, Adam, you're not only do you do producing, I was just looking at your IMDb page, so now I know everything about you, right?
No.
You also act a lot and everything.
Yeah, that's my primary function in most things as an actor. And I guess after I met Clay and I watched him put his first feature film together and he got distribution for it, I was like, that's really interesting how you did that. And being an actor and, you know, working in Hollywood and on bigger productions, you can't walk up to a director and ask, what are you doing? You know, you can pay attention, but you'll ever know your end of the job. There's a million moving parts, just like in a movie theater. So, you know, your end of the job and you do it well and then you leave. So I was really, really privileged to have Clay actually sit me down and say, hey, this is how it all works. This is called a camera. Here's the button, and this is a lens. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, and I got the bug, and it's really fun. And I don't know. It's a great time working with Clay, and it's turning into one of my major passions.
Oh, that's awesome. That is cool, man. Well, you guys, I'm going to tell you this. I mean, you guys, I'm sure know this already, but in case nobody said it today, keep doing what you're doing because you're real good at it. You know, this is a great film.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah. And we mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, we mentioned that it is out on video on demand. And what that means, for those who don't know, is wherever you watch streaming movies at, pretty good chance you can see The Rise of Sir Longbottom, Pocket Man and Cargo Boy 2. It is all over the place. Now, I know we have some international listeners to the podcast and whatnot. I don't know. I think you should be okay, but sometimes it's, you know, if you live in Austria or someplace, maybe it's different. I would suggest getting one of those, what do they call it, the VIPs or anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, the VPNs. VPNs.
VPNs, that's what it is. Yeah, I live in Iowa. Wink, wink. But yeah, you can watch all that cool stuff. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying I've heard people that have done that. Anyway,
it is on Amazon for the rest of the world. If they want to, they can watch it on Amazon Video, and it should be around the rest of the world. So they shouldn't have very many problems, especially in the English-speaking countries, finding it to watch.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. I will be posting a direct link to the Amazon link after the show, everybody, on my various social media and whatnot. So you can just click with one click and watch it today. How about that? How about that? And again, you don't have to. I followed along with this pretty well, you know. And you know, I'm not Stephen Hawking or anything, but I didn't have a problem following along with it. But what I did after the end, after I watched it, I'm like, well, I want to see the first one now, and I definitely want to see the third one when it comes out. So, you know, just letting you guys know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you want to see the third one. And to put a point on that, when we made them the first time and kind of wrote them in junior high, a lot of the criticisms we got were that, well, it's too dependent on each other. It's not a solid story. So when we're making this current trilogy, one of the things that I am putting personal focus on is each one needs to be a standalone. I want people to be able to jump into the second or third one and fully understand it and then want to go back and watch the first two, but be able to follow along as the newer films come out. So I'm glad that you're saying that you could follow the second one perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're like me
and
you can't follow a film at all, you know, you can just watch everybody get their butt kicked.
A lot of action. What more can you ask for?
I was just going to say that. There's a lot of action-paction in this. I like, and cool effects, man. It pulled me in. Oh, man, I'm the market for this. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, I know you guys have a lot of these to do today, but I really want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on our show here and, you know, class to join up a little bit and all of that. As I said, man, keep making these because I want to see more.
Well, thank you, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
Absolutely. And I'm going to stay right in touch and keep following. But we have a link up. The link we have, folks, is for Overnight Pictures, their Facebook page. And they post all kinds of really cool stuff. This is the distribution company that Clay and Adam were talking about. And they have all kinds of cool stuff on there. So I suggest you like and follow and definitely watch the film. Like I said, I'll be posting that Amazon link. And hey, whenever, just a quick reminder, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you watch an independent film or, I don't know, like an independent band or just like some baker that makes the best bread in town, comment, leave a review, you know, like and share their social media and whatnot. Help get the word out. That helps. We live in an algorithm world and it's the way it is.
And stock very, very Clay. Cool. Stock Clay as well.
I'm all for stocking.
He's an open book. Life's an open book.
you have to
really
start that wall with all the photos on it, his hairbrush,
that's
you know,
right.
All of that. Like a Law and Order. Jeez. Oh, man. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. But I think thanks to everybody who tuned in. And, hey, a big thank you for all of our new listeners through the Pandora platform. I'm so glad we're streaming on Pandora now. It was, you know, not the easiest thing to do, but definitely well worth it. So big shout out to all you folks listening to the show through Pandora. You know, keep listening. We really appreciate it. Very, very cool. Well, Mr. Clay Moffitt and Adam Berardi, hope I'm saying your last name, Adam, correctly. I hope I am that.
Yes.
Keep doing it, man. You guys are real good at making movies. I'm telling you. This is a fantastic
film.
Thank
you. We will.
Thank you so much.
Folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. In addition to being new on Pandora, we're also on everything else. There are 250 of them, you know, from Spotify to Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of them. This will be dropping as a podcast probably in about an hour or so, definitely be today. You know, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Have a good one.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.